Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we'll get into some like tweets in the first half. I'll tell you my trials and tribulations of my phone. Got a SportsCenter clip for you. First, it's apartments.com. Apartments.com. Most people know that apartments.com is the most popular place to find a place. That's because apartments.com has the most rental listings and most ways to find them. Thanks to some of the most powerful tools like 3D virtual tours. So you're most likely to find your most right place, which most everyone would agree is good news, unless you're weird and prefer to have less than most. Make the most obvious move for your next move and use apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dave Damaschek. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of Hollywood hand-me-downs. And now, he doesn't know much about Squid Game, but his friend Ray did force him to play the breathing game. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. Their choice, they're getting a mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian. You're funny, I'm funny, none of these other fucks are funny. We're going to talk to Damaschek today. He'll catch us up on the fantasy football draft where they kick somebody out.
That just happened. Or when did that happen?
A few weeks back.
Right before the season. Yeah.
Always good to hear how someone got thrown out of the league. Always delighted that John Hamm got tossed out. Maybe multiple times. All right. So personal trials and tribulations. I was... And oftentimes work. I've always lived in houses where the phone doesn't really work.
Like the landline.
House. You're there.
Yes. Right. And I do not have a landline. And I was calling in a Tim Conway Jr. show last night. And I did it from my office where the phone frequently works, but it was not working. And we ended up kind of getting cut off. And they said, we'll pick it up. And then I walked out to the corner of the patio where it frequently works, but it was not working. And then I found myself last night standing in the street, down the street from my house, calling where it was not working. And then that was the end of the interview.
No.
We tried three times. We could not get through. I don't know whose side it was on. I assume it was mine. Yeah. But phone working in the house. I've said it was people say to me, yeah, I'm looking to buy a house. You know, what should I do? Check the foundation? And I'm like, well, the guys do that. The home inspector will check the foundation. I'm going to add something. A, go there on Monday at 5 and see if Waze is taking everyone the shortcut way down your street where your kid's going to get run over. And then B, walk throughout the house with your cell phone.
Yes.
Call somebody.
Get a signal.
Call
or
me.
Not.
Call me. That's a service I'll provide. And then you just walk to every corner of the house, walk into the master bedroom and the kitchen, because then it's not just the house. So I was on a conference call early this morning, and what happens is I can do it from my office, but I can't make it into the kitchen without it breaking up. And at some point, I want a cup of coffee. So I try to keep the conversation going into the kitchen,
no
but
errands.
It then breaks up into the into the place where I can get the coffee.
I'm so glad you said that, because my thing's always been check the water pressure. Just, can I turn your faucet on? Can I turn your shower on? You know, take a dip. So that's a good one, too.
Freshen up.
But also, the other, you know what we need to get you? Now, you know I am no technical expert, but it saved our ass in an 1,800 square foot house. One of the mesh Wi-Fi boosters, it's the newest thing. There's either a Google Mesh or an Eero Mesh, and that might change your life.
Okay, so I got that. It's
Me
great.
Too, yeah.
It improves the signal tremendously for Wi-Fi, but Adam's not worried about Wi-Fi. He's talking about a cell signal,
but
right?
Couldn't he call on Wi-Fi?
Oh, you think Adam's going to do a fucking FaceTime audio call?
You're fine. Just move. It's easier.
I try to do that. It's going to be live streaming of me masturbating. In a bathroom.
But there's also going to be stuff that Conway doesn't like.
Yes. So there's that. The other thing that just popped in my head, I can't remember if I got into this or not, but it strikes me as I drive all over the Southland, like I live in a nice neighborhood. Sometimes I'll go drop my daughter off at one of her friends' houses in the nice neighborhood. I see a lot of those, you know, children at play, sandwich boards parked out front of the cul-de-sac.
In the shape of a child holding a flag sometimes.
In the shape of a turtle child with Down syndrome. They don't just pick a kid. They pick this weird green thing that sort of looks like a turtle that's been removed from a shell. But as I was thinking about this the other day, I've never seen kids playing within 2,000 feet of one of those signs. I see them in the good neighborhoods. The good neighborhoods have a half-court basketball court in the back.
Right.
They got a barbecue. They got a swimming pool. Those kids don't play stickball in the street.
The street's just tag.
That's just a bunch of asphalt with bad grading on it. Like, they have full, you know, they're playing cornhole in the backyard with their friends. They got it all set up.
Right.
So all those signs I see in the upscale neighborhoods, just think about the last time you drove through Bel Air or Beverly Hills or Encino and you saw a bunch of people playing stickball or hockey in the street. Now, no Wayne's World going on there, right? But when you drive to the shit neighborhoods, that's where you see the kids out in the street because their backyard's dirt and it's full of dog poo.
If they have a backyard.
Never no seen signage. One of those signs. Never one sign.
Nary a sign.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a little indictment of our society, would you not say? Like, shouldn't some
the
good,
priorities
some
under
good Samaritan just go collect all those signs from the nice neighborhoods and drop them off in Sun Valley and
busing.
Van Nuys?
Reverse busing.
That's
bust
right.
Bust those signs back bust to the other
those,
neighborhoods.
Bust those signs.
Hey, as it pertains to the phone situation, normally I'm all for, you know, move forward to the new technology, leave the obsolete behind. Went on a landline.
Yeah.
It feels like that would be appropriate for you, especially because you got fire sometimes up there.
I tried.
You had to work one.
I tried to do it in an old house, and it was a whole thing. Like, we don't know where it comes in. There's no jacks.
You know, what did you do with the landline here in 40 years?
There's no new houses with jacks put in them. And so now they're like, I don't know how to get it into the house. Like, it's a thing. You're right. It was said, the producer for Conway said, can you get on a landline? I said, I do not have one. All right. Speaking of the home, I told you 30 kids showed up at the house the other day.
Right. For homecoming.
I told you guys, or I have lamented in the past that I'm filming something in about 10-12 days. I'm on my low carb diet. And as I said, I can go to a restaurant, avoid the carbs. That's yes. And I can shop for myself and avoid the carbs. But when you open the fridge, I had to pack, I had to mule in 200 million carbs into, I think Chris has the picture. Had a couple of large pizzas, a huge platter filled with penne pasta.
Oh, and the best stuff.
And then just for effect, just a bag of bread.
Oh,
just bags of bread.
Oh,
just,
are those like garlic knots?
Yeah, just
this is all the best stuff.
By and none of the kids got into it. They didn't touch it. The kids aren't eating it now. So what happens is all the carbs get muled into the house. Then I'm tortured by the carbs.
Yeah.
Then what I try to do is I try to get people to eat the carbs. So I go to Olga, we got to get. So I'm like standing in the kitchen last night. I'm like, Natalia, you're eating pizza. She's like, I want salmon. I'm like, I want salmon too. I'm
why
ordering
you're
salmon.
Pizza.
Like, Olga, you got to get this thing, smuggle it into their backpack when they're walking to the door in the morning. You know, get this out of here. She's like, they're not going to eat any of it. So I just took the mound of carbs and it's 11 slices, 14 slices of pizza.
Tell me you brought it here. The animals here will eat it.
A pot, a foil chafing dish that's filled with penne pasta, you know, butter and garlic and all the stuff that's the
it
best.
Looks really good.
And then there's a huge bag of bread. Sorry, Dawson. I brought it to the other shop.
Ah!
I did the math.
Mm.
You're an outlier.
Yeah, you got to go over there.
Over here. You got to go to the other shop.
I'm supposed to go meet with Nate later anyway, so
yes.
I'd hurry.
I'll get mine.
Somehow, like, you know, remember when Wile E. Coyote would go off the cliff? And he thought he was fine.
Until he realized
until
he wasn't.
He looked down.
Yeah. He looked around like side to side.
These guys are all thin and they're eating carbs galore because no one has told them. Somehow
right.
We know now.
Yeah, I believe
and now
that.
We're going to be greatly affected
don't
by it.
Don't tell them. It'd be like a scene from The Clumps.
I don't. I just go, I got you guys lunch for like the next 3 days. And they're like, hey, pasta pizza. This is awesome. So I took a picture of that, put it up at amcurl.com. But it is a massive pile of carbs. And remember, I paid for all the carbs.
Right.
And I hate throwing away food, and I hate paying for food that I throw away. And so I've made many a pilgrimage over to that other shop with just piles of carbs.
Two things. First of all, can you take this picture off the screen? It's triggering. Second of all, I know that you really didn't have what, because I say when it comes into the house, what am I to do?
Right.
So you didn't have one piece of pizza.
No.
God damn it.
Did not touch
you didn't
anything.
Scrape off the toppings?
It it just, all I did was let it haunt me.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
For 37 hours, and then I muled it all in. All right. We got a top 10 Sports Center play that you guys should all be excited about. I've told you guys, just like the Oscars, the top 10 has been corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
They're now looking for...
Ever since they went to 10.
Yeah, they're looking for equity. Now, they have to have a little soccer. It started with some soccer. And then it kind of went, what about the ladies and some softball? And then it went to... Now, it is not that girls playing soccer or girls playing softball or girls playing anything are not top 10 play worthy. It's just sometimes you're scraping the barrel a little bit, and once in a while you're just gonna have to run one that does not possess a,
top
a lady
eight time.
We can just start it from 10 probably, or do you want to do that, or you just want to do
yeah.
it from the play?
Yes, yeah,
because this was like eight or nine a couple of nights ago on Sports Center. Now it was the WNBA championship.
Okay.
I think Chicago won.
Oh,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But it's the top 10 plays. Let's take a look.
Coming back. Here we go. SportsCenter's top plays. Number 10, Fred. Cards, Browns.
Great.
Kyler Murray. I'm sorry. Number 10, DeAndre. Look at Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Juking
nice
his way into the end zone.
Zigs and zags.
Into
first,
the
I'm
going
to give some moves. And then if I have to, I'll just run over people too.
Mm-hmm.
Full service top play right there by Hop.
The NFL's only undefeated team. The team that
WNBA,
mattered the most, that withstood them all at the end of
Ball
the WNBA,
steal.
The Chicago Sky, Vandersloot,
right.
Parker,
this
Miami,
is called a layup.
Chicago native,
they're
came
up by 11.
13 seasons in LA.
All right.
And
not a top 10 play.
It's a nifty play.
Not even nifty.
Nifty.
That's a high school, junior high play all day long. Just dribble down, feed it to the tall chick. She does no dunk, no alley oop, no tomahawk. I don't even know if I give that. Let's put it to you this way. If you watched 13-year-olds play basketball for an afternoon, you would not go, hey, does anyone remember the play where the guy dribbled down and did what the book tells you to do when you're dribbling down and it's a 2-on-1?
We learned at basketball camp.
Not a top 10, SportsCenter. Mm. That's called a layup.
It's fairly rudimentary.
I would say in basketball.
You see it a lot.
That's...
You see it a lot.
That's all there is before the age of 17. It's just dribble down, pass,
well,
layup.
And not knowing a lot about sports, I've seen some Instagram live clips of your daughter playing volleyball, and that shit is more deserving of the top 10, because that's pretty intense.
I got to tell you, in the pantheon of sports, you know, maybe you take baseball and you go, well, it's a team sport, but guys hitting grand slams, you know, and guys making...
thing.
Robbing grand slams at the wall and guys throwing pitches, you know, it's a little individual. And then you go, well, football, that's more, yeah, team, you know, there's blocking and that. And then there's basketball. You know, sometimes they'll really distribute the ball around, sure. 3, 4, 5 passes, and then the guy sets a pick. That volleyball, my God. Volleyball is like everyone talking, everyone setting everyone up. No heroes in volleyball. Right. Like, you do not try that spike shot on your own first time. It's set up, back, and then trying to block, and then set up. And it is arguably the most teamwork you'll get out of 5 or 6?
Six.
It's probably the most teamwork you'll get out of 6 folks on one side in volley, both sides of the net, volley, you know, set up. Like, it is sometimes someone knocks one back to the rafters and someone chases it to the Willie Mays style, just bam over the shoulder and sets it, gets it back in play, and then somebody sets it. I mean, it is the definition of teamwork. It is, it's exciting to watch for that reason. All right. We have, I had a little cut up here. Somebody sent me a tweet, and the basic tweet was some parent at a Burbank school board meeting went off, which is always entertaining, but that's not the part I was entertained by. I'm entertained by the mask correction part, and the reason I'm entertained by it is the parent that is going off on the school board, that ain't an experienced masker.
Okay.
They're there for a reason. Has to do with critical race theory or, you know, vaccine mandates or something like that, or mask mandates. But either way,
suffocating.
That dad is not mask dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't wear the mask walking on the boardwalk or the Strand. Right. He's not, you know, if you think about politicians and how their shorthand with the mask is, you know, that's on, it's off, it's on, but they're very aware. But these guys, they put the mask on to go talk in front of the school board because those are the rules. And at some point when they're dressing down the school board, the mask it invariably slides down.
Uh-oh.
It has to, because a lot of gesticulating going on.
That chin movement.
A lot of chin movement. Sometimes these guys have beards, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm not going to stand by and let you turn my son into a daughter. And at some point, you know, the thing goes down. And then the school board, who's in the best position ever for anyone yelling at you, gets to just go, mask up, which
invalidates your argument.
I'll spin that up.
It
stops. It always stops the person, and then they go,
like I was saying.
Where was I? Right. They're on the clock. Yeah. One guy went off. I didn't. Oh, is he a bearded guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I didn't. Again, I told Chris, the thing's 4.5 minutes long. I'm not interested in the content of it. I'm interested in the mask correction part. Sorry.
To the esteemed members of this school board, thank you for giving me the First Amendment, Mr. Superintendent. My son learned to walk not because I was there to hold his hand.
You have to keep the mask over. Thank you.
My son learned to walk not because I was there to hold his hand, but because of you. Because Bill Gates said so. He doesn't care about
money.
Sir, I
have to remind you again to keep your mask over your nose and mouth. Thank you.
Bill Gates doesn't care about money.
So what I was thinking of...
He was really rolling.
Every time he starts to get really upset, you can cut him off.
I just thought this should be, you know, implemented domestically.
Yeah.
Like the wife fucking comes in and found the lipstick on the collar, got a real head of steam.
You said you called it off with her, and I believed you. Well, you said that it was over and we were going to go to counseling.
Mask up, please.
Sorry.
Mask up.
Like I said, you said that this was going to be done.
I can't really...
What?
Is your mask up?
Yeah, no, it's over.
I can see one of your nostrils. I see one of your nostrils.
Hold on. I thought we were going to go to counseling so we could fix all of that, so we could be together forever.
We're going fishing?
We could go to Grandford.
All right. Is your mask up?
No, the mask is fine.
What's for dinner tonight?
Meatballs.
You came in here with a head of steam. What? All right, go ahead. Sorry, keep going.
You told me that you would never see her again. You said that you're...
Keep going. Mask up. Mask up.
You told me that it was over between the two of you.
I need you to get the mask. Sorry, ma'am.
What?
I mean,
ma'am.
This is gonna...
Jenny Lynn, I need you to get your mask on.
Hold on.
Okay. Well, all right. Look, I'm going to go watch the top 10 on SportsCenter because they never let me down.
You're going to stand right here.
you're going to take
I can't understand
you,
but get the mask up, please. I'm sorry, your time is up.
Oh, God damn it!
Your time is up.
It's got to be frustrating.
All right. And in other news, Ethel Merman news.
Mm-hmm.
News.
On all ears.
Newly unearthed.
Sure, okay.
From the Love Boat. Now,
oh.
Now this, is, by the way, this was the all musical version of the
yes.
Love Boat. Yes. You
go
listen,
on.
Two-parter. Cab Calloway.
Oh, my God.
Ann Miller, Ethel Merman. Oh, God.
This would have bubbled to the surface, but has Dolly Parton ever been on the Love Boat?
I feel like it would have come
this
up.
This would have,
it would have come up.
Okay.
I've not seen
Although,
her.
Although, somebody did tweet at us that there was a Tom Hanks episode mm-hmm. in season
yeah.
four that I don't know if you're familiar with.
Oh, yes.
A burgeoning Tom Hanks.
Right.
So,
plays a bad guy.
There's a couple things about it.
Sure.
There was a time when women got old, and they looked old, and they dressed old.
They were allowed to get old.
It wasn't...
Oh. Before their time, like Shelley Winters in the Poseidon Adventure,
sure,
was she
yeah.
like 52 or something?
Yeah,
she was the old lady.
Yeah, the Molly Brown.
Yeah, and if you were old, it wasn't Real Housewives of Orange County. You
no.
didn't dye your hair and get a bunch of filler and dress like a teenager. You wore a shawl.
You lean
like
into
a
your B. Arthur.
Right. You became old. So Ethel Merman, who is the songstress of "There's No Business
Like Show Business," there's no business I know.
All right, mask up.
Everything remains
the same. Just a mask on. Your time's up.
Okay,
mask up. Time's up. If I was a school board guy, that's all I'd do. I'd go, mask up, time's up, mask up, time's up, mask up, time's up. That's all. I never stop saying that. Dolly has been on Love Boat.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
She had a cameo in 1977.
Guys.
Cameo. Does that mean she was the entertainment? She wasn't like looking for love by herself
on
a cruise
herself?
Ship?
Yeah.
I got to know.
Well.
Anyway.
How's this not been presented?
I don't know.
God blame you.
All right. Now, the reason I'm playing you this clip.
Because I love
it's,
it.
It's with Ethel Merman and Van Johnson, who was a famous Broadway singer, song and dance guy. I don't know. I think in the movie Blazing Saddles, they had that Van Johnson. Everyone's named Johnson.
Oh, okay. Like Johnson Johnson?
There was a whole Johnson scene,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I think there's a Van Johnson.
Johnson, Johnson's right.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Mm. That was like the punchline. I think that was the last one.
I think they said Van Johnson, but anyway, it was a big actor of the time, I guess.
He was in Brigadoon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had reunited mm-hmm. with Ethel Merman on the ship.
Okay.
There were young star-crossed lovers. But the reason I bring it up, and we'll show you the scene, they meet out by the pool. He left her at the train station so many years ago. This Love Boat's from 1982. So there's Ethel Merman. And what would you say Ethel Merman's age is by her picture? Don't do any other math.
Yeah, but just by the picture, I would say early to mid-70s.
Yeah, looks mid-70s. Or by today's standards, she's 81.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
because
you think of Nancy Pelosi, you know, jet black
yeah.
hair, lots of filler. But
not any of that, I'll say mid-60s.
Mid-60s. Now, she looks like she's from the mid-60s. Don't factor in stuff, Brian. Just say, how old does she physically look?
Late 60s.
I would say 77.
Okay. Yeah. I knew that wasn't going to go well, but all right. She
late
she looks 70s. Like a woman in her 60s. Drew's wife is in her 60s, is what I'm saying.
Right, but that's today. That's today.
I know, but we're not factoring anything in. I'm just saying, what does she look like?
Okay, I'm going to say 68.
Okay. In the 60s. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Between 60
okay.
and 69.
In the 60s.
Yes.
Okay. That's how, if you just saw a picture of her today, no context, you'd go, that woman's in her 60s.
It's a 68-year-old woman.
Okay. All right. Doesn't look older than 60. Remember, Drew's
oh God,
wife is 65.
Okay. But you're saying don't factor other things in, like how 6-year-old women look today. That's exactly what you're doing. I'm saying basically that whatever this 1982, that's what a 68-year-old woman looked like.
All right. Fair enough. I'm simply just saying I don't want to factor in the year. I just want to say, what does she look like to you?
68.
Okay. Good enough. All right. Here we go. Thank you.
It is you, isn't it, Ross?
Can you tell what I was going
yes,
for?
It's me.
Of course, those older same maybe. Twinkling eyes, they
yeah,
haven't changed.
Okay.
And they're about the only things I have that haven't. It's been a long time, Victor.
June 1953.
That's right. You remember?
How could I forget?
For someone who left me waiting at the train station with my bags packed, I should think that forgetting would come easy.
Oh, Roz, I've dreamed about this day when we'd finally meet. And I had all sorts of wonderful speeches prepared. Witty, sensational, sincere. And all I can say now is that I was a foolish young man who thought that an acting career was the single most important thing in my whole life.
And I was a foolish young girl who thought she'd never live through another day.
All right. So, 1953. Ethel Merman is 74 in this cut. Little older.
Okay.
74 in her 70s. But this is 1953. Now, if you do the math, we'll just round up and say 30 years ago.
Yeah.
She was a foolish young woman. Well, he was a young man with stars in his eyes who dreamt.
Early 20s.
They're in their 40s. Why would you write it that way? You left her at a train station. She was a foolish young girl. You were a foolish young man who had his sights set on Hollywood and the bright lights. You're in your early 40s. It's math. You don't have to say the year. You can just go back in the day.
And if this is written before it was cast, feel free to rewrite. Feel free to just change a couple of numbers.
I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. What we just saw...
Oh, sorry. 43 is what they said, but it still makes her 1943. It makes her in her 40s.
What we just witnessed, she's supposed to be in her 40s.
No. What you just witnessed is they had a love affair when they were 40s. Kids. Oh. And he took off for the bright lights in her 40s.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Doesn't make any sense. And as Drew brought up.
This has been discussed
she's
already.
She's playing the mom of Gopher.
What the fuck?
She's Gopher's mom. Gopher's.
In this series?
Yes, Gopher's 35. So where's Gopher? I mean, who's she fucking?
Child bride.
What? Is she. She had a kid out of wedlock, or she got divorced, but there were young kids
second
with
family.
Dreams in their heart, but they set a date to it.
Adopted.
And now they're in their 40s.
When she was a young kid with dreams in her heart, she was premenopausal.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Thank you for that.
The late, great Ethel Merman.
And please remember, and I've committed this to memory, so Google me right, that when the Golden Girls started, they were supposed to be in their 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In their 50s, which as a kid I thought was very, very old. But
yes.
They were old biddies of, 52.
Wasn't Ethel Merman canceled?
How dare you? What are you talking about?
Like, did
they
she have some transgression?
Sing, well, was it her? Who did New York, New York at the end of the Yankees games who got canceled? You can find that. Yeah, this is an earlier cancellation. This is like 4 years ago or something
not
like
Sinatra.
No. It was a female songstress like Ethel Merman who was canceled because she had some stuff from vaudeville days or something from the 30s was not too flattering for the black community. Who am I thinking
of? Liza Minnelli did it in 2001 at Shea Stadium.
She's uncancelable.
No, this was a recording.
They would
play it while people were filing
from a long
out.
From dead.
Yes.
Yeah. I gotta know.
Oh, we'll figure it out.
I'm saying Kate Smith.
Kate Smith was canceled.
So
right.
They stopped playing her version of God Bless America.
Oh, right. Kate Smith is God Bless. I mean, you can find Kate Smith. She was Ethel Merman before Ethel Merman or during Ethel Merman or something. You'll know Kate Smith.
Deeper dive.
You'll know the God Bless.
Kate Smith was, she's 1 year older than Ethel Merman, known as the First Lady of radio. Mm-hmm. And known for her rendition.
Gina Grad is
Thank
the first lady
you.
Of radio, please.
Yeah, you can find her doing God Bless America. That's right. She got canceled for God Bless America, which they would play, I think, at the Yankees games.
Oh, seventh inning.
Oh, yeah. There's lyrics of a song that haven't aged well.
Yes. For her, like from the 40s or something.
Yeah, and one of them was a hit. Do you want me to say the title?
Yes.
Read the lyrics.
Okay. Emerging claims about racist lyrics in some of her songs included in her catalog, one of them her hit, That's Why Darkies Were Born.
Now,
what's it about?
Brian!
Did she write the song? That's the bigger.
If only Alonzo was here.
She probably recorded 10,000 songs and probably just handed it to her. All right. Let me tell you about BlueNile.com. Whether you're customizing an engagement ring or designing diamond stud earrings, you got to go to BlueNile.com because you're in control of there. Build a more brilliant piece at a price you're not going to find in traditional jewelers. They had a beautiful pear-shaped amethyst crowned in round cut diamonds as well, set in 14 karat rose gold and matching adjustable cable chain. Pick from a vast selection of preset diamonds and gemstone jewelry. Blue Nile's endless options are ready to ship the same day. Hop on their website and see all the beautiful offerings they have. Trouble choosing? Blue Nile has experts 24/7 via the phone or chat to help you find or build a memorable gift. It's Blue Nile, right, Dawson?
Mark the moments that matter with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Adam's listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive offer includes engagement rings. Use code Adam. That's code Adam. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today.
All right, we got some liked tweets. Mm. We're going to do that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Downsville, Louisiana. A 29-year-old man was arrested for stealing and pawning a ring. He told police he used the money from the sale to make a down payment on an engagement ring for his girlfriend. He stole the original ring from his girlfriend. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, Sheck's going to be here. I think I said that there were star-crossed lovers in 43, but getting back to Ethel Merman, it was 53 okay. Was the date, just so we're accurate. All right, Sheck's going to come in. We got a couple of liked tweets that Max Pata pulled, and we'll get into that, and we'll bring Sheck in. We're also going to play some Hollywood hand-me-downs. We'll be wagering bets on what some of this Hollywood memorabilia went for at auction. Prices are going up, people. Go ahead. Do we got it, Chris? We got an intro.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Send him by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
All right, so I got a couple here. And if anybody wants to tweet at Adam, just tweet at Adam Carolla. Anything you want him to see, most likely he will see it and like it. All right, so this is from at Vox Maris. So this is in response to somebody tweeting you, Adam, a quote that you said on this very show. Who's more miserable with a happy first name, Joy Behar or Whoopi Goldberg? And at Vox Maris responded, you forgot that sunny bitch. Speaking of Sunny Hostin.
Yeah, Sunny's pretty miserable too. But it's ironic that the sort of most miserable are Sunny, Whoopi, and Joy.
Joy.
On that on that show. Oh, in a related story, I think people have to give their whole name on when they text you. I'm trying to think. Who was the blonde? Meghan McCain. I guess Meghan McCain has a book, and I got a text this morning said, hey, I talked to Meghan McCain. She's a friend. She wants to do the podcast, wants to talk about her book. Meghan McCain be an interesting interview.
Sure.
Being in that lion's den all that time. And then said, can I have a contact? And then said, Clay. Mm. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, let's see. Now, who do I know? I don't know a ton of Clays.
Yeah, I know one.
Who's Clay? And then I thought, well, let's see. Clay Travis was up on stage with me in Nashville, and then I talked to Clay for a while over at Sal's 40th mm-hmm. or 50th. And
53.
And Clay is also him and Buck Sexton took over for Rush Limbaugh. So I'm like, all right, Clay's conservative. He's friends with Meghan McCain.
That's up.
So I go, this is Clay Travis. But I haven't corresponded with him over the phone, but I don't know who has my number. So I called back and I just get the hello. And I'm like, hello? Hi. Hey, this is Adam. Oh, hey.
Adam.
It's Clay. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, it doesn't sound like Clay Travis, but I don't know.
It's Clay Aiken.
Wait, that was
Clay. It's Clay Aiken.
Oh. What?
Yes.
So I figured out your number from back in the day.
Wait a second. Yes. That was a ballsy move. You called the person you didn't know which Clay it was.
I did not. I didn't have Clay Aiken in my head.
Oh my God.
This is Clay Travis, but I've only really known three or four Clays right. in my life. But it was Clay Aiken.
You got to look at that area code.
And 991 or something. Oh, no, anyway, no. I don't know. Weird area
What's
code.
The rest of his number?
I don't. So I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, I didn't let on, but if he listens, he'll figure it out.
I love that Clay Aiken and Meghan McCain are friends.
I do too. So he's like, oh, my friend Meghan McCain, and I talked to her, and she's plugging her book. She said she want to come on the pod, blah, blah, blah. I said, fine. So remind me to send you. I was going to forward you the text, but I'm not capable of doing that. I think I've done it before, but
it can't
couldn't
be done.
I couldn't do it this time. I
okay,
tried.
I'll remind you.
We got that. And what's going on with The View now? Is there a Republican in there? Or
I think
how they work
that's going to be a revolving seat. So they're going to find, you know, marginally conservative women that there won't be a permanent cast member.
It seems like.
Because I don't think they can. I think they're super happy in that chair.
Well, it's a tallish order for whoever sits in that chair,
yes.
Because not only is it a 3-4 against mm-hmm. one situation, but there's a lot of emotion coming out of the people
sure.
who aren't
sure.
agreeing with yeah. you. You know, it's not just, well, let's crunch some numbers. It's a you're a bad person
right.
thing. It's got to wear that person out pretty fast.
Right. Well, and it specifically ended up becoming Meghan McCain versus Joy Behar. Specifically,
mm-hmm.
those two seem to have some real on camera beef, and I think it seems like Meghan was just kind of over this.
Maybe they should even it out. Maybe there should be two on the more conservative side, and be 2-on-3 or 2-on-2 or something like that. But that might be interesting if they had an ally.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you're say your target demographic during a mid morning women's show mm-hmm. is. Women who are home mid-morning, you think the Midwest, you think whatever, you think it would be a little more balanced, like they would want maybe a conservative Midwestern view more represented?
It'd be more compelling because it's just from a guy who's gone out to dinner with people who disagree with him, and it's hard to battle the whole table.
Right.
If you can get one person on that table to jump in on your side,
right.
it makes a difference.
No.
Yeah.
More interesting conversation.
So it's going to be revolving.
I think so.
All right. Oh my God, that show. I've been on that show. That's how old that show is. I may have been on that show two times.
Fuck.
I think I was there during the Barbara Walters day. Barbara Walters alive, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It was she, Meredith Vieira, Star Jones,
mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Yeah.
Does that all sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like
Nation
as the
Dick Clark, right. Danny Bonaducci. I remember that show.
Debbie Matenopoulos? That name hasn't popped into my head in a million years.
Was Joey Lawrence on that show?
What?
Joey Lawrence?
When the guys were.
Whoa.
Whoa. There was some like bro-y guy.
Oh, there was Mario Lopez.
Okay.
I buy it.
Dick Clark. Bonaducci. Okay. I don't know if there. I can't remember the fourth. Although, you know, if someone's just stopping James people Lewis. On the street and asking them, I think I might win that
three
competition.
Out of four is pretty good.
I don't know. There could have been five. Anyway. All right. Sorry. Next tweet.
All right. And then somebody tweeted you. His name's Jay Henry. He says, Adam and Jimmy will be very happy about this news. And he tweeted an article about the Sex and the City reboot.
Mm-hmm.
It's premiering this December, and it's going to be streaming on HBO. They're doing half-hour episodes. Samantha will not be a part of it.
And it's not called Sex and the City.
Mm. Wait, is it?
It's called And Just Like That.
That's right.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Is it the same cast?
I mean, Chris probably has it, but because Samantha wants no part of it, Kim Cattrall. And they need to do a lot of compensating from the lack of diversity the first time around. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a little more colorful, diverse.
Do they? Oh, yeah. It's
the most diverse city
woman
in the country.
Of color who's married, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
What's Kim Cattrall's thing? I don't get why people get angry at their own franchise.
Wasn't it that, like, it was like the dueling egos. Like, I'm the reason people watch this show, not Carrie,
yeah,
Samantha.
The story that I heard, the story that emerged was she thought she was every bit the star of Sarah Jessica Parker.
I think so.
And demanded equal treatment and equal billing and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Wasn't
down. And basically they're like, no, show's about her.
Well, they're probably favored nations, right?
I doubt it. Very doubtful.
Well, Sarah Jessica Parker's probably got like a producer credit or something like that. But I'll bet their fees. There's something to look into, Max.
They're gonna do with like billing and like, you know, trailers, like star accoutrement.
Their fees are probably the same, but then Sarah probably gets some creator, producer, something bump. But as a guy, I never get that part because I've done, you know, two kind of franchise shows. One was Loveline and one was The Man Show. And it was always favored nations. We got paid the same.
Mm-hmm.
They do it that way because it'd cause an immediate problem between the two hosts if someone's getting paid more. And on Loveline, I did 72% of the lifting. And then on The Man Show, I did like 44% of the lifting. And I always preferred The Man Show because we're getting paid the same and I was doing a little less work.
Right.
That's the way I looked at it. I wasn't interested in, you know, top billing or whoever spoke first on the monologue or who threw it to the roll-in bit. I was like, as long as we're getting paid the same, then
I'll just...
Because I basically equated it to roofing. It's like me and another guy are roofing. We get paid the same.
Yeah.
We get a day rate. He's doing 60% of the roofing.
Right. You get there at 9. Right. You get there at 11.
Yeah, that was kind of how I looked at it. I don't know. Maybe Kim Cattrall didn't come from the construction background.
Oh, come on. Of course she did.
And she's probably got money, but what is she going on to do? I don't know what she's moved on to
do. She, during Sex and the City, didn't she and her husband make like a sex positions book?
Mm-hmm.
Like a tantric sex something book?
Did not, was not aware of that.
Mm. I mean, I don't
but,
know.
But you can look it up. Anyway.
I think a lot of it had to do with the movie too, billing and pay. I think for the series, maybe it was a little more equitable, but I think for the movie, maybe. That's all I remember vaguely.
This happens in girl bands a lot.
Mm.
Belinda Carlisle gets pushed out front. Everyone else gets pissed off. And my thing is, just hammer those checks.
Yeah. Oh, and lest you thought I was misremembering, the book is called Satisfaction, The Art of the Female Orgasm.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Cool. I never go into that aisle of the bookstore. I stick with the car
what,
stuff.
What, fiction?
All right. So, wait, where's that coming to? Hulu?
HBO Max, HBO. 10 episodes, 30 minutes long. There'll be an addition to the cast of Gina Smith, three new main characters, all of whom are people of color. And the first new cast member we announced was Sarah Ramirez, a non-binary actor who famously played Dr. Cali Torres on Grey's Anatomy.
Mm.
And they said that, yeah, they're going to just write out Samantha in a, quote, believable way.
Yeah. The
horrible fire.
Be nice. I don't.
That's
she...
Hogan's Heroes. That's what they did. Remember Sandy Duncan?
Yeah.
Wasn't it supposed to be a fire?
Oh, Wait a minute. Not Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, sorry.
Hogan's Family.
Oh,
is that yeah. Sorry. Was yeah. concentration
yeah.
camp?
Yeah. Sorry. Yep. Thank you.
Prisoner of War camp. People get that confused
Thank
comedically.
You. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So she's gone, and I can start watching this starting when?
December, I think.
I'm in. I'm all in. I will say this on Sex and the City, what are we calling it?
And Just Like That.
And Just Like That. The portrayal of gay men in that series and in the movie form.
Fetishizing.
We do that thing where it's like you go back and look at how blacks were portrayed in the 40s and the 50s and go, ugh, cringeworthy black. Gay men
yes.
in that series right. are arguably as over the top as the black characters were of the 50s.
Yes.
Kim Cattrall has a checkered history of this because remember Mannequin. The very swishy gay fellow.
Hollywood.
That's right.
And do you know, Stanford Blatch, you know, the character, Willie Garcon, died.
Oh,
and
he
you
did.
Know, he wasn't gay.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, two bombshells. He died, I think, of COVID complications.
Nobody very recently. Channeled the gay like he did.
Yeah. And Cosmopolitan reports that once Sarah Jessica Parker became a producer, like seasons 4 through 6, she was making up to $3.2 million an episode, whereas the other girls were making $350,000.
Wow, now they're pissed. Mm. Okay.
There it is.
Well, there you go.
Well, it's about her.
Yeah, look.
The show's about her.
Well, also.
And her flunky friends.
It's kind of. What the market bears. No. That's just what it is. And then, Kim Cattrall, you know, lead a TV show right. of your own, and then you'll make more than the ancillary actors will on that.
And again, from us working class folk, oh, they only made $300,000 a week. Like, okay, so?
I like when guys kind of mitigate that. They go, yeah, but you got to figure 10% to the agent.
Yeah. Government takes a chunk.
Yeah, government right. takes their bite.
Yep. All right. Sheck is out there. We'll take a quick early break, and we'll bring Sheck in studio, and we'll do some Hollywood hand-me-downs right after this.